Hello there. We are here to share our adventure we had the end of January. We went on a medical mission team to Honduras. And if you were part of partaking in the cinnamon rolls in December, you were contributing to what occurred on this trip. So all the medicine we bought was due to the generosity of you and your support. So we appreciate that. We went to Honduras. This is Tiquiraya. This is part of Honduras. Honduras is in Central America. It's between Nicaragua and Guatemala. We went to a more remote area, so it's on the eastern edge. Not many roads out there. As a medical mission team, we had nurses, we had a couple dentists, but we also did fluoride and parasite treatment, so even non-medical people were very useful. There's always something to do. I was the pharmacist, so I had a pharmacy. This is the next slide. This is the pharmacy. I enjoy going as the pharmacist. I don't have any insurance to deal with, no phone calls, and everything's free, so I can just give it away. Love that. And I also get to help weigh in on what's the best choice and what we should use to treat different things. So there are a lot of challenges when you do a medical mission team. One of them is the language barrier. None of us speak Spanish, which most of Honduras does. But then since we go out in the far eastern edge, they don't speak much Spanish there either. They speak Mosquito. And so we rely on translators to quiz the patients, basically, to get a diagnosis, find out what's wrong, where it hurts, the symptoms, so we know what to treat. This is Walter. He knows Mosquito Spanish and English, so he served as our translator. That's Abby. She was a nurse with us this year. And so it's quite a process to ask the right questions and to go around the questions several different ways to find out what the problem is. Sometimes we've had a translator that maybe doesn't know English, so then you have to go from Mosquito to Spanish to English. So it's so it takes a while. There are other challenges. The remoteness of it is part of it. It's a 7-hour boat ride to get to Tiquiraya. So like if a patient needs follow-up care, that's probably not going to happen. If we tell them, you know, you should go to the clinic in the next week after we've been here, that's probably not going to happen, really. So that's a difficulty. Also, access to things like a Band-Aid, even, they probably don't have access to, or Tylenol. So we give out a lot of that type of stuff. Also, the living conditions, it's pretty rustic, I guess you would say. The buildings aren't super tight. There's no windows, doors. The animals are kind of living within the village there with you. And there's a lot of mud sometimes. It tends to rain quite a bit, so consequently a lot of mud. And so we had, the first day, we had a guy with a machete wound. They use machetes for just about everything, farming and everything down there. So he had a machete wound in his foot. And so he came to see us, and our nurse cleaned it up, put a dressing on it. And then we told him, you know, come back in 3 days, and we'll change your dressing and check on it. So as he was leaving, I was thinking and looking at all that mud outside that we had been wading through and thinking, how in the world is he going to keep his foot clean and dry? And sure enough, he came back our last day while it had been raining the whole time, probably. And we changed his dressing, and the wound looked just fabulous, and the dressing was intact. And it was just nice to see that healing is possible, and it was nice to see a positive outcome from something we had done. Also, when I go, I usually come back feeling, God, I wish I could have stayed longer, I could have done more. Seems like we don't get to give out a whole lot, and we could do more if we could stay there longer. There's a doctor down there that works with us. We use her boat. She helps us arrange our trips. We couldn't do anything without her, probably. And so she's very helpful, and she lives down there year-round. And I was thinking, if we would have canceled our trip, like a lot of other teams did because of the political unrest down there, that she probably wouldn't have gone out by herself to Tiquiraya. She wouldn't have taken that boat ride. And even if she had, she wouldn't have been able to see that many patients. But when we work together as a group and pool our resources, and we were able to see over 1,000 patients, in just those 3 days. And we could give parasite and fluoride treatment to over 1,000 patients. So it made it really hit home to me that as a group, you can accomplish so much more than as an individual. So Ellen's going to talk to us more about Mary Ann. She's a real neat lady, and you'll get to hear more about her.
Good morning. I'm going to have you move along to the next slide, which that was our ride going up our 7-hour trip. And yes, it's a 7-hour trip to go up to Tiki Rai. We have to go over the lagoon, through 2 lakes, through a canal to get to the Kruta River, which will take us to Tiki Rai. So it's quite a trip. Both ways. When we came back, it was just gorgeous. I mean, the sun was out. We really felt like we were having quite an afternoon. Okay, going from that one, here is Dr. Mary Ann. And yes, she is the team, the head of the team down there. We took 9 team members from here, but down there we meet other people, and she is the one. She is the one who gives us the itinerary and all. One of the reasons she does that is she lives there permanently now. It used to be she was in Minnesota. She is was a cardiologist at Mayo Clinic. But now at this time she's been there about 10 years permanently, doing the full year. Not that she doesn't come back up here and see people, because she has people up here too. She has quite a network. With that, one of the things she does happens to be the fact that she does the nutrition program there for for Puerto Lampira. And this is her spot in the compound at the House of Hope. She has her office here. She has the supplies during there. And people will come, and if they're malnourished, then they can talk with her. They go through a process, just like we have to go through processes to get that. They can do that even when they're out further, like in Tiki Rai. Only in Tiki Rai, it takes a longer trip for them to come to get theirs. So they send out a bigger amount with them. They might send 3 months' worth instead of the 1 month, where if you were right in town there, you just have 1 month at a time. You also make sure that you give the food for the family, not just the child who might be malnourished. It has to be for the whole family. So it's quite a program there. I'm trying to think. Do you want to go to the next one? Her help is very much needed when we go out to Tiki Rai. She's checking a woman, but beside her happens to be our nurse, Glia, who has first probably checked the patient, and then she says, okay, I need a little extra help, and so she calls in Dr. Mary Ann. Sometimes it's calling in Michelle, depending on, they do a lot of consulting together. This one is checking her eyes. Well, if she needs to have surgery on her eyes at all, Dr. Mary Ann has that network. She knows the different people in Honduras that will help, or she knows when teams are coming down from the United States. So she will get the person to where they need to go. She may be the one who takes them to wherever they need to go in Honduras to get the surgery. Or she may send them to, like when they go to La Ceiba, they may stay with one of our dentists, and you'll see that dentist later on with it. Okay, on to the next one. She really is a fantastic person and a giving person. We know her heart is right with the people. Here is what I call the giveaway. At the end of ours, there is a thanking the people that have helped us. Another part of a smaller part of the team at Tiki Rai was the fact that we had a lot of men who were what you might call doormen. They let in a family at a time. You know, when one family leaves, then the next family can come. Otherwise, all the families would be right on us, and we wouldn't accomplish a thing. So here is her time, and she has a bag for all of these gentlemen that helped us. The bags are filled with notebooks. That's to give to their children so that they can go to school, because they don't have easy access to notebooks and all the school supplies that are needed. So that's what she has in these bags, and she calls these gentlemen out by name, giving each bag and making sure everybody's getting one of these bags that giving things away. Besides that, she also has other gifts that she has received from people, such as dresses that have been given during the time we were there, shorts for the boys, dresses for the girls. We had glasses this year, so that we had glasses for if you were needing glasses, then they could try the glasses on and see if they could find some that would work. So really, she's a vital part in our big teamwork. And it was just, for me, it was a really fun time of normally I did the fluoride treatment. Well, Gloria and Ron make sure you get to try out some of the other things, so I got to be assistant pharmacist. And that was when a time when I could be with Dr. Marianne, and she said, oh, she saw I wasn't doing much, so she says, come on, help me get these dresses out here and things out laid out so that people can get them. So we had a good time talking together and getting to know some of about her and her family. So that is my part in here, and so I'm ready to hand it off to Gloria. By the way, it is a fantastic experience to go to be. I just feel like I have grown so much more having gone on a trip like this.
And I can't, excuse me, I can't tell you how much fun it was. We've grown to depend upon Michelle and know her skills, but to add the other two to the team was a lot of fun. And so we really enjoyed having them. We also did a second team. These people were all on the first team. We had a second team also, and Ron and I took the second team down a couple days later. Totally, the two teams went to seven villages, one orphanage, and two large schools. We treated over 3,000 people. So that's a lot of cinnamon roll money, and we appreciate you very, very much. Another slide, please. This is Michelle getting ready to have a roving pharmacy. We take all of our luggage is full of medicine. Plus, we order Honduran medicine that Dr. Marianne has ready for us. And we have tents and things like that that we store down there from year to year. And so here's poor Michelle trying to make that all into travelable and findable situation. One of the things that after we read that verse about the snakes, and we went, what? What are we going to do about snakes here? And then we discovered after reading more things that it was about faithfulness. And the next day I read something that Billy Graham had written about faithfulness. And he was saying faithfulness is you have to plant the seeds. We may not know the outcome of the seeds, and that's God's business, not our business. But we have to plant. If we're going to be faithful, we have to plant the seeds. And so that's why I picked the pictures that I've picked here. That is the seed of better health. Hopefully, those 3,000 people have learned a little bit or had their issues treated, and hopefully we've planted a little bit of a seed of better health. Next one. This is Pencil Girl. I had to throw her in because she's so darn cute. And she was so proud of that pencil. Every kid gets a toothbrush after they've had their teeth fluoridated, and they get a pencil. And they are so excited about these pencils. Well, finally this year, we actually priced a pencil in Port Olympia. In Port Olympia, a pencil costs 50 lempiras. That is the equivalent of $2.20 in the United States. And so if your salary is for a day, if you have a job, is $6, that's going to be a real handicap to send your children to school. So even something like a pencil can help with an education. Okay. This one is my Seeds of Education. One of the other groups that we work with down there is called Reach Out Honduras. And those are some missionaries who went down, and their purpose was to get some better education system. The public education system is very, very minimal. Most children never make it to the sixth grade. And there's very, very little education beyond the sixth grade. And so they have started a high school in Puerto Limpira, and they now have 450 kids in this exceptionally good school. And they are really learning. It's a mission school, so they get the love of God, but they also get really usable education. And one of the things they're teaching these kids is English. Because if you have some English vocabulary, it's a step up in your employability. And she was saying when we were there with the first team that she had some kids that were now in advanced English, and she would love to know if their skills were transferable, if they were really usable. And so we were blessed to be able to totally take 7 of these kids, but on the second team we took 4 of these kids out with us in a boat to another village, and we actually used them as translators. We had our real translators there, but it was pretty obvious pretty soon that our translators backed off and turned it over to these teenagers. I think this education is a seed of the future for that undeveloped area, that these kids, this little guy that's on the left, is going to be a leader, you can tell. And I think that's enabling other people, and educating is a key to the future there. One of the things that we try to do is go where nobody else is going. It's a lot easier to go to Puerto Limpira, but as I said, we went to 7 villages. And this is probably now the most backward, the most isolated, the most uneducated, very little contact with the outside. Almost, I get a feeling almost of suspicion. They're just learning to trust outsiders. And so we go to Tapamlaya every year. This is part of the reason they're isolated. This is the new road to Tapamlaya, the new improved road to Tapamlaya. Sometimes people ask me if I'm scared when I'm working in Honduras, and I said, no, I'm not scared, but I did walk across this bridge. I did not drive across this bridge. But the driver did. He just drove right through it. So, okay. And this is my last family. This is a family that we became acquainted with in Tapamlaya. This is Grandma and Grandma's youngest child, but then the 3 kids belong to her other daughter that had died 5 days before. She wasn't 20 yet. She had died 5 days before, leaving Grandma with 3 children. The middle girl that's 2 years old is obviously already malnourished, and now the family is more stressed. The baby is 3 months old, and Grandma had 1 more day of milk for the baby and no way to get more milk. And we were able, we hope, to provide transportation back into Puerto Limpira so they could go get food and get on the list for support from Send Hope. We don't know the outcome. As Billy Graham was saying, we don't know the outcome, but we were privileged to hopefully plant some seeds of trust and love and health in some of these communities. Diane.
Thanks. Hi, I was one of the newbies, and it was a wonderful experience. Can I have the next slide? Thank you. This was on the boat ride. This was me with one of our dentists, Jenny. She shared a story with our group, and I wanted to share that with you because I felt it was very touching that she wanted to share it with us. She said that her colleagues would ask her. She's a dentist that lives in Tegucigalpa, so she has to travel quite a ways to come and help us. But her colleagues asked her one time, maybe more than once, why is it that you go do this with all these gringos? And she replied to them, she said, do you see how far they come to help our people? The least I can do is help our people too. And so she's part of the team, a real vital part of the team. And I thought that was encouraging that she would share that with us. Can I have the next slide? There she is at work. Some of the statistics were between the two dentists, they saw 166 patients and pulled like 271 teeth. Ron, did you want to say something about that? Okay, yeah. And then can I have you show the next picture? This is Geraldo. He was the other dentist that was there.
Those two pictures are, to me, are quite unique. That picture there, the Dr. Geraldo, a dentist who was raised in this part of Honduras, but now lives and practices in La Ceiba. He has an item in his hand there, if you can see that. That's a syringe. Both he and Jenny, if the previous picture, had these syringes, what looked like syringes in my view, in their hand. And that's a very important part of their dentistry, because that syringe is going to numb that tooth before he and she pulls it out. Our past history tells us that they're very reluctant to come for dentistry until they see that syringe, or they know that they're going to have their tooth deadened before it pulled. Dentists in that part of the country in Honduras where we're at are very, very rare. Those two dentists that you see there, Honduran dentists, are the only two dentists that were in that region of Honduras where we were at. They don't live there, but they came there to provide dentistry to their people. Again, the ability to deaden their tooth before it's pulled is kind of important. The pain that doesn't come is kind of important.
Thanks.
I just happened to think of this. I'm sorry. That stuff that deadens your tooth, that is medicine. And that is part of the medicine that we're able to provide and get for them because of your generous support to us during the Cinnamon Roll projects. Thank you.
Next picture, please. Okay, so this one's kind of an odd one, hard to describe. This is from the inside of the building where we did the parasite treatments and the fluoride treatments and oral care. And the buildings, there's no electricity, so it was kind of dark. It was a block building. There's no windows. All they have are just these louvered slats kind of in all the buildings. And the people were outside waiting for their turn in the building to get the treatments. And this container of bread caught my eye in the morning. And it brought me right to the Bible story of the fishes and the loaves. Because these people come, you saw the pictures of the mud, and we don't have the pictures of the rain, but it rained a lot. It rained every day. And the people come, and they stand in the rain, and they know they're going to wait. They've established a a rapport with these villages that they know when it's time to come that it's going to be a while. So she brought the bread. I didn't get to see if she shared it with the people or if it was for their family or what, but that was just the vision that came to my mind throughout that day. I would kind of watch the bread moving from that part of the window, moving along with the family. And another story that kind of made me think of more Bible stories, you know, we're trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And like Gloria said, we're trying to plant the seeds. We don't know the outcome. We're just trying to be that visible presence, kind of like the snake on the pole. We're that visible presence, and we're hoping that God will use that presence to point to him. And the other story was in our medical section. We had a lady brought in on an oar, and it was an elderly lady who was not able to get there on her own, and they brought her on an oar to see the doctor, see the nurses. And it just made me think of the story of Jesus, who was in the house, and they took off the roof, and they lowered their friend down to Jesus to see, you know, because the crowd was too big, and our crowds were big. It just all kind of connected, and it felt like there was, you know, there was a spirit there. It was an amazing experience, and like Ron said, a lot of this is only possible with your donations for the cinnamon roll fundraisers and that kind of thing. A very worthwhile donation. Every penny goes towards something good. So I encourage you to keep giving towards this project and consider doing it. It's an amazing experience. Thank you.